the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting camera, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Wow. Wow is all I can say. Another day of just stunning testimony from the January 6th Commission, Select Committee, the House Select Committee investigating the events surrounding the January 6th attack on the Capitol. It's a mouthful, but I guess you got to get it all in there. This was day four of the hearings, and today centered on the pressure that Donald Trump and his campaign and his minions applied on state officials to break the law, to lie, cheat, and steal, all the while he's accusing the other side of stealing the election. It is opposite world, it's projection, and it is criminal. And I hope someone pays. We're going to get into it. I watched the whole thing, pulled a lot of video and audio. We'll go through it. We'll talk about it. I'll open the phone lines if you want to weigh in. But we're going to get to that in a few minutes. This is not the only thing that happened today. As you are probably aware, the Supreme Court finished hearing cases for this term, a month or so ago. And now they're in the process of doling out their decisions. Opinions? I never know if I'm supposed to call them opinions or decisions. I guess they're both. I guess I'll ask our guest. So today, when the day started, there were still 18 cases left for them to weigh in on. Excuse me. They gave five more today. And yes, they're all important on some level, but there's one specifically that has major ramifications, and it has to do with that old, same old separation of church and state, and they just want to kill it. So I'm happy to bring in again our old friend Barry W. Lynn. He is the former executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, now retired, but still doing the work. Hey, Barry.
How are you?
Oh, you know, busy day.
Hey, you know, when you use the word minions, I much prefer the little cartoon minions that are coming back, because the minions of Donald Trump are really terrible, terrible people.
They are. And minions was always a good word until the movie came out. Despicable Me was the first instance where they co-opted the word minions, because it was a great word. Before, maybe his acolytes? No, what?
Acolytes. Well, they're acolytes, I guess.
Yeah, but minions was easier. But yeah, I do. I see the little yellow creatures. Yeah. So, and they're lovable, unlike
they are.
Trump's. So
yeah, there's nothing lovable about anybody connected to the Trump family, there are a few exceptions there, or to his minions, yeah, politically. Nothing.
No, not at all. And boy, with these hearings, we're seeing more and more. Today was stunning. I mean, having the election officials from Georgia and Arizona, Republicans, all of them, speaking out and saying, look, yeah, I supported the guy, but I could not do this. I could not do what he was not only asking me to do, but demanding that we do. That was pretty jaw-dropping. And then at the end, we hear this poll worker from Fulton County, Georgia, Shay Moss, and her mother, Lady Ruby Freeman, and Donald Trump has destroyed their lives. And they, you know, and you listen to Shay, and she's like, I just wanted to help people. I wanted to help people vote.
Exactly.
So we'll get to all of that. But I do want to start off with, at 10 o'clock, I'm sitting here, and I don't know how you get, are they decisions or opinions or both?
What? I think they're opinions, technically.
Yeah.
But in the case of some of the stuff that's been happening, they're more like piles of...
cow dung. Yeah.
Dung. Yeah. Well, cow dung is a polite way to put it.
I know. See, I would use the actual word, but you're here and I you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so they handed down five opinions today, but the one we're going to talk about is the one having to do with public funds going to pay for religious schools. So you want to tell us what happened? I don't even remember what the name of the case was. It had to do with a school in Maine, right? The state
yeah,
of Maine.
It did. It had a couple of parents in Maine. The case is, by the way, called Carson versus Macon.
There you go.
But who cares about the names?
Right.
What matters is really the conclusion. And I think in conclusion, Justice Sotomayor, who is turning out to be literally the most progressive, she may be as progressive as Ruth Bader
yeah,
Ginsburg
she,
was.
She is definitely picking up her mantle, for sure.
But she concluded her minority opinion by saying, "What a difference 5 years makes. In 2017, I feared the court was leading us to a place where separation of church and state is a constitutional slogan, not a constitutional commitment. I couldn't have said it
better
myself."
And then she said, "Today the court leads us to a place where separation of church and state becomes a constitutional violation."
Exactly.
Whoa.
Well, let me tell you a little about Maine. I mean, I've spent some time in Maine. It has a lot of moose. It doesn't have too many school districts. A lot of places in Maine are so rural that there isn't actually a secondary school, a high school there.
Mm.
So what those, under Maine law, what you have to do, because they do properly guarantee a high school education for every person in Maine, they do one of two things. Either they negotiate, if you're a school district that doesn't have your own high school, you negotiate with a nearby school district and say, "Let our children come to your school."
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But some school districts really don't do that. What they do instead is to provide vouchers, essentially, subsidies, payments to parents to send their children to private schools. And, you know, that's been working out reasonably well. Until today, though, you couldn't, in fact, send your children and get any kind of subsidy for them if the schools were sectarian. And sectarian had a very specific meaning. It meant you couldn't be associated with a religious entity, and most importantly, you couldn't present a curriculum that presented academic material through the lens of that faith.
Okay.
That
makes
now, today,
sense, right? That
yeah,
I,
it
and
makes
I,
perfectly good
right.
sense.
Yes.
But that was yesterday. Now, today, that arrangement is viewed as unconstitutional. In fact, six members of the court said that it violates the free exercise of religion, also guaranteed by the First Amendment. In other words, the state of Maine is now required to allow parents to take their tuition money, if they get it, and spend it on overtly religious education at these private schools.
Amazing.
Now, this would have been stunning. In the 1950s or 60s, this would have been outlandish. But starting in about 2002, when I was still with Americans United, there was a case from Ohio. And in Ohio, they had a plan that parents could get vouchers and they could give them to certain religious schools. But there was at least the patina that those schools in Ohio that were religious, that were getting the money, at least had to abide by both state and federal non-discrimination laws. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the thing I kept saying at all the TV shows I did that day. But there's still a guarantee. You can't send your... That's just over the rail today also, because these schools that are getting the money now are not just a little bit discriminatory, they are highly discriminatory. Let me just give you two examples.
Please.
One of them Yeah, one of them, they don't admit you if you happen to be gay, lesbian, bisexual, or trans student. One of them doesn't let you in. One of them says you can come in, but then you have to undergo counseling.
Oh my God.
And repudiate your sexual identity, or they throw you out.
Now, how is that not unconstitutional?
Oh, because that's the kind of discrimination this court really doesn't care about. Wow. They care about the so-called discrimination against religious parents. These are all fundamentalist Christian parents who are involved in this case. And then it gets even worse because one of the schools that was a party to this actually says, I think I'm quoting this exactly. They have as one of their educational goals to refute the teaching of the Islamic religion with the truth of God's word, apparently the Christian God's word.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, this isn't on the edge. This isn't the kind of thing where you go, well, maybe they didn't mean it. They say exactly what they mean. I have to give right-wingers credit sometimes for being bluntly honest. I mean, most of the time they're just deceptive.
Right.
But this is bluntly discriminatory. And here's the court doesn't even mention these issues and just says it would be discriminatory not to allow these private schools to get this money.
Oh, my goodness.
Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, wrote the opinion, and he's been on this so-called incrementalism. But we had a woman who was staying with us for about a year while she was working at the ballet company here in Washington. She just stayed and we gave her free rent and everything. But she said, can I do anything? And I said, look at all these old videotapes of mine. And one day I came home and she said, guess what I found? I found a videotape of you and John Roberts on CNN.
Oh, my.
And the subject was school vouchers. So notwithstanding the fact that in theory, you're not supposed to have opinions on these issues,
right,
or at least not stated opinions when you are confirmed, nobody really asked him about it. And he, at that point, which was even before his selection as Chief Justice, he was pounding the pavement for school vouchers, giving tax dollars into these private religious schools, no matter what they taught. And now we know what they taught. Can you imagine being a Muslim?
No.
In New England?
Right, no.
And now you have to pay, literally have to pay into the state treasury so they can dole out the money to a school that teaches that your religion is awful and you must repudiate it.
Was that addressed in this opinion? I mean, the fact that the money that will go to specific schools who discriminate against you based on the religion you practice?
In the majority opinion, no. There are some allusions to it in the dissenters' views, but not in the majority opinion. It's as if it didn't happen. It's as if the court justices simply want to be silent on just how bad a decision and how extreme a decision this is. You know, there are lots of people who say, well, maybe we should not be. There was a case some years ago where a private religiously affiliated daycare center was wanted to get some shredded tires to make their playgrounds safer for young people.
Right.
And of course, we lost that case. Tom Hartman, who I'm sure you know, and he and I are friends. Uh-huh. But he pointed out that night, he said, but you know, there's a danger in these shredded tires because there's so many chemicals in the rubber, it may not even be safer. And of course, many of us managed to survive, even climbing on jungle gyms, falling off.
When we didn't even have the padding, exactly.
We didn't have any padding.
We had nothing.
Some people say, well, elite, but that wasn't teaching. But of course, it's closely associated and very important to these daycare centers to get it. But this is much more direct. This is a directly teaching. You can pay the salaries of your bigoted teachers. You can pay who, by the way, in all cases, must be a born-again Christian. I mean, Christians like myself, I couldn't even get a job at most of these schools.
Right.
So, but it, you have to be a born-again Christian. And so the discrimination extends not only to the young people that are going to the schools or would like to go to the schools, but also to the people who teach them. It is as if that wasn't even a factor. And it's very sad. I mean, I know that a lot of organizations have weighed in, the National Education Association today, very, very disturbed about this. And the question is there anything you can do about it? And the only thing I can think you could do about it is simply not have any programs ever to subsidize private schools. That would be fine with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had two kids. We've sent them always to public schools in several states.
Yep. But, I went to all public schools. I turned out okay. Yeah. If you want to send your kid to private school, go for it. But you pay for it. We
exactly.
pay tax dollars to support our public education system. And if the public education system is lacking, it's because we're moving funds from it into the private schools that should not get our public funding.
That's 100% correct. And this goes back, you know, I was very happy to once have received something called a Medal of Freedom from the Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt Institute.
Wow. Wow.
And I got it the same day that Russ Feingold, mm-hmm. Brian Stevenson, and people that I think did a lot more for justice than I did. But it was a wonderful thing. And I was doing a little research on Eleanor Roosevelt, who I knew was a strong supporter of separation of church and state, because she was a friend of the founder of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And she used to have him over to the White House, and she'd say, we have to do this, protect this principle in every generation, in every generation.
Yeah.
And of course, we do. But in this case, when you look at what has been happening, we're seeing a steady erosion that goes not just to public funding of these private schools, but later in this term, there will be a major case involving prayer in a high school football stadium the coach of a football team. That's still floating around, and a few others as well. But on this one, there really is nothing. Eleanor Roosevelt wrote a piece. She used to write for Reader's Digest, which I think people still read. But I mean, at the time, during the Roosevelt years, this was the go-to magazine.
Sure.
And she made the point that there's nothing you should do to support private schools. Although she said some of our kids went to private schools, but it was unthinkable, she said, for us to expect the government to pay for our decisions.
Of course.
This is the same problem. Unthinkable it should be. Now, not only is it thinkable, and here's what I fear. I know a lot of the people that are being quoted from the right, the supporters of this decision, Kelly Shackelford and these other characters, I know them very well. I've debated them many times, and I can hear what they're saying now. Let's say some state says, we're not ever giving any kind of support for private schools. We're going to avoid this problem. This is the next argument they will make. They will say, well, what about Christian parents who don't want their kids to go to public schools? Because we know what happens in public schools. They teach you mysticism. They're teaching you critical race theory. They're being trans-friendly. We can't stand that. Our children will be disturbed. We must defend the godliness of our private school. That's what they want. In other words, they want to make it possible. In fact, they want to make it impossible to not have a full-blown alternative, paid for an alternative private school system in any state. That's their goal. I think they probably have enough votes to get there. That's how bad it is.
It's really bad. I hate hearing this. It's just one more. And look, we've got a few more big decisions, opinions coming down that I'm dreading. I mean, the next day that they're going to give them is Thursday, the day of the next hearings.
Maybe
this is why they moved the hearing time back to 1 o'clock, so it's not 10 and they're not competing. So I sit here at 10 a.m. I have SCOTUS blog, loaded.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
I watch, they hand down the decisions or the opinions or whatever. They write it there. And I have a list of, it started with there were 30 cases still to be decided as of a couple of weeks ago. And I'm, highlighting them as they announce them, and the biggies are still there. This was a biggie today, and unfortunately decided the wrong way. And write down those ideological lines, 6-3, just as, and this is the problem facing us for the next however many years. Amy Coney Barrett is very young. These people have lifetime appointments, and this never should have happened. Donald Trump shouldn't have had 3 picks on the Supreme Court.
That's right. He
didn't. Obama had one and didn't. I could bitch about that forever, but we're not going to do that.
But it's not bitching. It's just truth-telling. I know. No, I imagine, this is not my field of expertise, but I certainly believe in the gun case that we are going to see a decision in spite of all of the mass shootings that continue almost every day this country, that you will be able to conceal carry a weapon in New York subway system
in New York
after
City.
That decision.
Yes. Which is just, and that's going to happen any day now. And then, of course, they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I don't even know, I can't even picture a country like this. And I'm trying to think, where can I escape to? And it's the wrong attitude. I should stay and fight. But, oh my God, this is all happening in plain sight. I mean, we see this, I hate to call it creeping fascism, because it's not creeping at all.
No.
It's full steam ahead. And, people like you and I and others who have a lot more power than we do are watching it happen and are powerless to stop it. Is this what happened when Hitler rose to power? That they all saw it coming, but the people who knew better were powerless to stop it?
I'm not 100% sure that it's as bad, but it sure is looking that way. One of the things that happened, of course, and it continues to happen over the weekend, of course, the former president spoke at a faith and freedom rally.
Yes,
I used to go to all those right wing rallies. Uh-huh. And he made the same arguments. And here are these born again evangelical Christians all applauding everything that he said. And In Nazi Germany, there was a lot of criticism, of course, of the Catholic Church for its failure to take notice and make any moral judgments. But it turns out that their Protestant churches in Nazi Germany did pretty much the same thing.
Yep.
They were willing to support him. He was a guy who said, Germany first. We were humiliated in World War I. Let us support the fatherland now. And the too many of the churches, with rare exceptions, get absolutely, mein Herr, do it.
Absolutely.
And the churches.
And they have tax-exempt status. And Barry Lynn, I know that's something you've been fighting against for years. But it's just mind-blowing that they could do this. They can be so exclusionary. Those schools you're talking about in Maine that discriminate against people of other religions, they have tax-exempt status.
Well, they do. They do have tax-exempt status. They shouldn't have it.
Nope.
And if you want to be a bigot and be religious, if you want to claim your religion requires you to hate other religions, to consider that non-cis people are terrible, go and do it. I hope you fail. I hope nobody comes to your churches. I hope you see the light. But please don't expect me to applaud it and certainly not subsidize it with my tax dollars. No, absolutely not.
Unfortunately, we're powerless to stop it because our tax dollars are going to support it.
Yeah, I mean, in the long run, the only thing is, and the only thing we can do is hope that we get a different Senate.
Hope is not enough. Well, we need to make sure we get a different Senate. You know, the onus is on us. And if we can't get our side to get out and vote, then I hate to say it, but we deserve what's coming to us.
Yeah, I do think, though, that if you look at the polling in the Senate, I mean, in the House has been so gerrymandered that I'm not sure it can be saved. But I don't see this big kind of red wave coming in the Senate. When you have people, I mean, just as one example, in Pennsylvania, we talked about the Pennsylvania governor's race once. But in the Senate, John Fetterman is like 7 or 8 percentage points ahead of that utter incompetent nitwit, Dr. Mehmet Oz.
Right.
So you do see some of these. And as we know from the last election cycle, though, if you're a Democrat, you can't just be a half a percentage point ahead.
No.
That's why getting out the vote is so important. They're trying to stop people, for example, from actually organizing buses to go through neighborhoods and pick people up. I must get 10 emails a day insisting that somebody wants to do something good. I never see anybody who's actually interested in taking people to the polls.
Yeah.
And they make it harder and harder to do mail-in ballots. We got to get people to the polls.
Yep. And, you know what? This is going to be a great segue into the final witness from today's hearing, because I'm going to move on to that.
Sure.
The final witnesses, it was this woman, Shay Moss, and her mother, Lady Ruby Freeman, that were poll workers in Fulton County, Georgia. Yeah. And Shay Moss, you're going to hear a lot of her testimony because I'm going to play a lot of it back. She's like, I wanted to help people vote. And her entire life has been destroyed because she's been targeted by the man who was the president. It's just astounding. So, you know, so much for good deeds, right? But we can't let that dissuade
absolutely.
Us from doing the hard work to get help people to vote.
Yeah, I mean, if we give up, we literally contribute to an act of national suicide.
That's right.
We cannot do that. Disappointed as we might be on a daily or weekly basis, those of us on the side of genuine justice and non-discrimination have got to continue to do what we can for as long as we make it here.
Most definitely. Barry W. Lynn. Find him at BarryWLynn.com and on Twitter at Barry W. Lynn. Makes it easy. It's all
it does.
Thank you so much, Barry.
It's great to talk with you.
With you as well. And I really appreciate you jumping in today, because that was an important case and people need to know what's going on. This is a horrific ruling. I guess, you know, Supreme Court has the final say. I would hope some Muslim parent or Jewish parent or somebody, a normal Christian family who is not one of these crazy groups, challenges this. Because I guess if they challenge on a different basis, it's not about tuition. It's about they're excluding me. You're taking my tax dollars to fund your enterprise, and you're telling people that my belief is evil?
Yep. That's the next lawsuit. But I do think, you know, the right, I don't know who's on television tonight, maybe with the hearings, they won't even cover this.
I know.
But I mean, it's, the right wingers always have plans 3 steps ahead.
Yeah,
and John Roberts certainly did here. Oh yes, the Ohio case, give the money because it's not discriminatory. And then, give them the, you know, the shredded tires, it's not going to teaching.
Right.
And then there was one, you know, where the Supreme Court of Montana actually said, no, we can't give money to scholarship funds to religious schools. And the Supreme Court said a couple of years ago, now you don't get to decide what your state constitution means. We do.
Oh, God.
It's the Supreme
Court. The Supreme. Tomorrow, for the whole hour, my friend Lisa Graves is going to be here. Do you know Lisa?
I've met her, but I don't.
These days, she runs an organization called True North Research. But she was she ran the Center for Media and Democracy for years.
Oh,
she helped uncover the Koch brothers and Alec and all of that. But before all of that, Lisa has the real legal bona fides. She was a deputy assistant attorney general in the Bill Clinton administration under Janet Reno. So she was the chief counsel on the Judiciary Committee for nominations. So this is her world. So she's going to be here tomorrow to both go through the hearings with me and to talk about some of the Supreme Court decisions. So I'll definitely ask her about that.
Absolutely. So, always nice talking with you, Nicole.
You too. You as well. Thank you so much, Barry Lynn.
Absolutely.
We'll talk again soon, I hope. Okay, I'm sure. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, yeah, Barry W. Lynn, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, still is doing amazing work. Barry has retired from that organization, but he's still doing the work. And he is a reverend. I mean, this is a man who, it's easy for me, because I don't have religion. I'm one of those atheist Jews. But for him, this is a real perversion of his belief system. And I can't imagine being a person of faith. Look, Joe Biden, too, as much as I hate how overtly religious he is, you know, the disconnect between the evangelical world, who is worshiping Donald Trump, who held up the upside down Bible and talked about 2 Corinthians. The man obviously never cracked a Bible in his life, yet he's pretending to be one of them, and they're buying his bullshit. That's what gets me. So anyway, I could go on for a long time like that, but I won't, because I want to get into the hearings. So I hope you watched it today, because it was powerful. Beginning with, here's who was there today. The Speaker of the Arizona House, a Trump-supporting Republican, conservative Republican, his name is Rusty Bowers. A guy named Gabe Sterling, who at first the name didn't ring a bell for me, but he's the guy who was like the head of the elections division in Georgia, also a Republican, who got up to the microphone back in November and December and called bullshit very strongly. He was there today. And so was the Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger. I think his name is Brad Raffensperger, also a Republican and a Trump supporter. And all just unequivocally said, Donald Trump tried to get us to change the results of a fair and free election. So we're going to get to some of that. And what I don't get to today, we'll pick up tomorrow. So that's why I'm not rushing today. We have all time. We have tomorrow too. And Lisa's going to be here tomorrow to help go through some of this. So we have time to get through all of it. It'll be a 2-day thing. But I do want to start with that powerful testimony at the very end. Because when they let, you know, Raffensperger, Sterling, and Bowers leave, and it was 3:00. I thought, okay, they're wrapping up here. It's been 2 hours. All right, and then they said, no, we're going to call Wandria Moss, but I guess she goes by Shay. So I'm going to share with you a few videos from her testimony, because it was devastating. These are people, good people, who just wanted to go help as poll workers. So Adam Schiff led the questioning today. So let's go to the videotape and Adam Schiff. And this is where he started with Shay.
Mr. Giuliani and President Trump, I want to advise viewers that these statements are completely false and also deeply disturbing.
Oh, sorry. Here we go.
Tape earlier in the day of Ruby Freeman and Shay Freeman Moss and one other gentleman, quite obviously, surreptitiously passing around USB ports as if they're vials of heroin or cocaine.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
I mean, it's obvious.
Okay, that line right there is despicable. Rudy Giuliani saying, I want you to hear that line again because it comes up again.
Of Ruby Freeman and Shay Freeman Moss and one other gentleman.
Ruby Freeman and Shay Freeman Moss. This is this mother and daughter who he's accusing of passing around a flash drive like it was cocaine or heroin? What?
Of Ruby Freeman and Shay Freeman Moss and one other gentleman, quite obviously, surreptitiously passing around USB ports as if they are vials of heroin or cocaine.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's obvious to anyone who's a criminal investigator or prosecutor They are engaged in surreptitious illegal activity again that day. And that's a week ago, and they're still walking around Georgia lying.
Oh, my God.
They should have been questioned already. Their places of work, their homes should have been searched.
Oh, my God.
For evidence of ballots, for evidence of USB ports, for evidence of voter fraud.
Oh, my God.
That video was from Rudy Giuliani's appearance at a Georgia State Senate hearing on December 10.
That was disgusting. And wait till you see, as we keep going, what's so despicable about it. Yes, David?
If you listen closely to what drunk Uncle Rudy said,
yes,
he said the two ladies' names,
yep,
and one other gentleman.
And one other gentleman, right?
What do you want to bet?
Yeah.
The one other gentleman was white.
Oh, he was a gentleman. So his name didn't get thrown out there as chum to the circling sharks.
What do you want to bet?
Oh, I don't doubt it.
You just mentioned the evangelical swallowing Trump's bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't think they are. I think they know him for what he is, but they know he will get done what they want to get done. He'll put Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court.
Okay.
For them.
Yep. Well, and they did. All right. So let's move on. Let's meet Shay Moss. So here, she's there in person and is sworn in as a witness.
And were there social media posts that they showed you responding to those false claims?
Well, when I saw the video, of course, the first thing that I said was like, why are they doing this? What's going on? And they, you know, just told me that Trump and his allies were not satisfied with the outcome of the election, and they were getting a lot of threats and being harassed online, and asked me, you know, have I been receiving anything, and I need to check on my mom. And I told them, I was like, where have they, you know, where have you been getting these threats? I don't believe I have any. And Mr. Jones told me, like, they're attacking his Facebook, and I don't really use Facebook. I have one. So I went to the Facebook app, and I'm just kind of panicky at this point because this has never happened to me, and my mom is involved, and I'm like her only child. So I'm just asking him, like, well, where are the messages? All I see is the feeds. Like, how do you get to the messages? And he said, it's another icon on your phone that says Messenger. And I went to that icon, and it was just a lot of horrible things there.
And those horrible things, did they include threats?
Yes, a lot of threats, wishing death upon me.
Oh, my God.
Telling me that, you know, I'll be in jail with my mother, and saying things like, be glad it's 2020 and not 1920.
Were a lot of these threats and vile comments racist in nature?
Duh.
A lot of them were racist. A lot of them were just hateful. But yes, sir.
In one of the videos we just watched, Mr. Giuliani.
Okay, so that was that video. Let me move to the next one because it continues. I'm just going to keep playing these because you need to hear them. It's incredible.
Your mother was kind enough to come speak with us earlier. Let's listen to her story in her words.
My name is Ruby Freeman. I've always believed that when God says that he'll make your name great, but this is not the way it was supposed to be. I could have never imagined the events that followed the presidential election 2020. For my entire professional life, I was Lady Ruby. My community in Georgia, where I was born and lived my whole life, knew me as Lady Ruby. I built my own business around that name, La Ruby's Unique Treasures.
Wow.
A pop-up shop catering to ladies with unique fashions. I wore a shirt that proudly proclaimed that I was and I am Lady Ruby. Actually, I had that shirt on. I had that shirt in every color. I wore that shirt on Election Day 2020. Mm. I haven't worn it since, and I'll never wear it again.
Oh, my God.
Now I won't even introduce myself by my name anymore. I get nervous when I bump into someone I know in the grocery store who says my name. I'm worried about who's listening. I get nervous when I have to give my name for food orders. I'm always concerned of who's around me. I've lost my name and I've lost my reputation. I've lost my sense of security.
Wow.
All because a group of people, starting with number 45 and his ally, Rudy Giuliani, decided to scapegoat me and my daughter, Shay, to push their own lies about how the presidential election was stolen.
This is sickening. Okay, so you heard Rudy Giuliani say her name and her daughter's name, and now she's lost her name. She will not wear that shirt, the Lady Ruby shirt, anymore. I'm going to let them keep telling it because they can tell it better than I can.
Ms. Moss, how has this experience of being targeted by the former president and his allies affected your life?
It's turned my life upside down. I no longer give out my business card. I don't transfer calls. I don't want anyone knowing my name.
Oh, man.
I don't want to go anywhere with my mom because she might yell my name out over the grocery aisle or something. I don't go to the grocery store at all. I haven't been anywhere at all. I've gained about 60 pounds. I just don't do nothing anymore. I don't want to go anywhere. I second guess everything that I do. It's affecting my life in a major way, in every way, all because of lies. For me doing my job, same thing I've been doing forever.
This is just shameful. They went for a closing statement back to that deposition to hear from Lady Ruby one more time. And here's what she said.
Nowhere I feel safe. Nowhere. Do you know how it feels to have the president of the United States to target you? The president of the United States is supposed to represent every American.
Yeah, supposed to.
Not to target one, but he targeted me, Lady Ruby, a small business owner, a mother, a proud American citizen who stand up to help Fulton County run an election in the middle of the pandemic.
Thank you, Ms. Moss. Thank you, Ms. Freeman, or as America now knows her, Lady Ruby.
Lady Ruby.
For your service to Fulton County, Georgia, our country, and our democracy. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
That was, if you're not disgusted by that, if you don't see the injustice there and realize that Donald Trump did this, then you're not paying attention. And to, you know, I talk about hypocrisy all the time, the hypocrisy of the Republican Party, of the right wing of this nation, who is so fucking wrong. Now, their latest thing is, you know, they're freaking out because there were protesters out in front of Brett Kavanaugh's home. So they want the law changed. So you can't protest in front of a Supreme Court justice's home. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I think there were people out there peacefully protesting. I don't think they were going up to the door and threatening Brett Kavanaugh and his wife and family, like Adam Kinzinger just got this murder threat sent in the mail to his home. But one of the first moments of this hearing today was Adam Schiff, let me bring this up, showing a video of a protest of Donald Trump supporters outside of the home of the, I think it's the Secretary of State of Michigan. And they were not peaceful.
The president's supporters heard the former president's claims of fraud and the false allegations he made against state and local officials as a call to action.
Stop the steal! Stop the steal! Stop the steal! You're a threat to democracy! You're a threat to free and honest elections!
We love America! We love our rights and our freedom!
And then about 45 minutes later, we started to hear the noises outside my home, and that's my stomach sunk, and I thought, it's me. And they're and then it's just, we don't know what's gonna, I mean, the uncertainty of that was what was the fear. Like, are they coming with guns? Are they gonna attack my house? I'm in here with my kid, you know, I'm trying to put him to bed. And so it was, that was the scariest moment, just not knowing what was gonna happen.
This pressure campaign against state and local officials spanned numerous contested states.
Yeah, it did. So, all right, so that was that, right? Now, I wanna move on. I mentioned before about Gabe Sterling, right? Gabe Sterling is the Georgia election official who was one of the first to sound the alarm and say, cut the shit, people. This is wrong. This is really wrong.
Second, you will hear about a number of threats and efforts to pressure state officials to reverse the election outcome. One of our witnesses today, Gabriel Sterling, explicitly warned President Trump about potential violence on December 1st, 2020, more than a month before January 6th. You will see excerpts from that video repeatedly today.
But this, what you're about to see, I remember this
gone
so clearly.
Too far. All of it. Joe DeGeneva today asked for Chris Krebs, a patriot who ran CISA, to be shot. A 20-something tech in Gwinnett County today has death threats and a noose put out saying he should be hung for treason because he was transferring a report on batches from an EMS to a county computer so he could read it. It has to stop. Mr. President, you have not condemned these actions or this language. Senators, you have not condemned this language or these actions. This has to stop. We need you to step up, and if you're going to take a position of leadership, show some.
Yep.
My boss, Secretary Raffensperger, his address is out there. Uh-huh. They have people doing caravans in front of their house. They've had people come onto their property. It has to stop. This is elections. This is the backbone of democracy. And all of you who have not said a damn word are complicit in this.
The point is this. Donald Trump did not care about the threats of violence. He did not condemn them. He made no effort to stop them. He went forward with his fake allegations anyway.
Yes, he did. Okay, we're going to get back to Gabe Sterling and to Georgia and Brad Raffensperger, who Mr. Sterling just referenced. But first, we're going to bring in their other witness, the third witness from the first part of the session today. And that is the Speaker of the House, the state of Arizona. Again, a Trump supporter and voter, and but an honest man. Go figure. I guess there are still at least a couple of honest Republicans.
Before we begin with the questions that I had prepared for you, I wanted to ask you about a statement that former President Trump issued
today,
which I received just prior to the hearing. Have you had a chance to review that statement?
My counsel called from Arizona and read it to me. Yes, sir.
In that statement, I won't read it in its entirety. Former President Trump begins by calling you a rhino, Republican in name only.
His name is Rusty Bowers, by the way.
He then references a conversation in November 2020 in which he claims that you told him that the election was rigged and that he had won Arizona. Now, to quote the former president, during the conversation, he told me the election was rigged and that I won Arizona, unquote. Did you have such a conversation with the president?
I did have a conversation with the president. That certainly isn't it, but there were parts of it that are true, but there are parts that are not, sir.
And the part that I read you, is that false?
Anywhere, anyone, anytime has said that I said the election was rigged, that would not be true.
And when the former president in his statement today claimed that you told him that he won Arizona, is that also false?
That is also false.
That is also false. It went on like that. We'll hear more from Rusty Bowers, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. As I told you, Lisa Graves will be here tomorrow. We're going to go through more of this, but I want to give you a good foundation for what happened today. So I mentioned Brett Raffensperger. Okay, let's hear some from him.
So on your call, this was not the first time the president was suggesting you might be criminally liable.
And again, Brad Raffensperger, for those who don't remember, he's the guy to whom Donald Trump said, I just need 11,780 votes, one more than we already have. That's the guy, him. Okay, sorry, back to it. Over here.
With that, let's listen to this portion of the call.
I think you're going to find that they are shredding ballots because they have to get rid of the ballots. Because the ballots are unsigned, the ballots are corrupt, and they're brand new, and they don't have seals, and there's a whole thing with the ballots, but the ballots are corrupt, and you're going to find that they are, which is totally illegal. It's more illegal for you than it is
oh
for them,
God.
Because you know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense, and you know you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan. Your lawyer, that's a big risk.
Wow.
Secretary Raffensperger, after making a false claim about shredding of ballots, the president suggested that you may be committing a crime by not going along with his claims of election fraud.
Yeah, that's, you know what that is, right?
Bullshit.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, but here's the big question.
And after suggesting that you might have criminal exposure, President Trump makes his most explicit ask of the call. Let's play a part of that conversation.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
No, you didn't.
Mr. Secretary, was the president here asking you for exactly what he wanted, one more vote than his opponent?
What I knew is that we didn't have any votes to find. We had continued to look. We investigated, like I just shared the numbers with you. There were no votes to find. That was an accurate count that had been certified. And as our general counsel said, there was no shredding of ballots.
No shredding of ballots. So this was towards the end of the first part before the women who we heard. I sort of went backwards today. They ended before they took a 10-minute break, with another video just of, sorry to do this to your ears, the former guy doing what he does best, the only thing he did well, lying.
4 days after the president's call to Secretary Raffensperger was January 6th, the president whipped up the crowd in front of the Ellipse, once again promoting the allegation that Secretary Raffensperger, the president's own attorney general, had told him was false. Here he is on the Ellipse.
In Fulton County, Republican poll watchers were ejected, in some cases physically, from the room under the false pretense of a pipe burst, water main burst. Everybody leave. which we now know was a total lie. Then election officials pulled boxes, Democrats, and suitcases of ballots out from under a table you all saw it on television, totally fraudulent, and illegally scanned them for nearly 2 hours, totally unsupervised.
This is all lies.
Tens of thousands of votes. This act coincided with a mysterious vote dump of up to 100,000 votes for Joe Biden, almost none for Trump. Oh, that sounds fair. That was at 1:34 a.m.
Everything about him is a lie. And the people who still defend him, I just don't understand. So you heard from the women, right? An interesting conversation in the chat, and I can't say I disagree that they went after these two women, Shay Moss and Lady Ruby, probably because they're black women. And David, my husband, came in and said, the other gentleman, I bet he was a white guy. Perhaps. But don't think that they just went easy on white guys because they're white guys. Once again, let me bring up the Speaker of the House of the Arizona House to talk about what they did to him. The retribution by Donald Trump because he wouldn't do Trump's bidding. He wouldn't break the law.
In the videos have mentioned we received, my secretaries would say, in excess of 20,000 emails and tens of thousands of voicemails and texts, which saturated our offices and we were unable to work, or at least communicate. But at home, up till even recently, it is the new pattern or a pattern in our lives to worry what will happen on Saturdays because we have various groups come by and they have had video panel trucks with videos of me proclaiming me to be a pedophile and a pervert and a corrupt and
God.
Politician and blaring loudspeakers in my neighborhood and leaving literature both on my property but arguing and threatening with neighbors and with myself. I don't know if I should name groups, but there was one gentleman that had the three bars on his chest.
The three percenters, that would be.
And was threatening my neighbor, not with the pistol, but just vocally. When I saw the gun, I knew I had to get close. And at the same time, on some of these, we had a daughter who was gravely ill, who was upset by what was happening outside. And my wife, that was a valiant person, very, very strong, quiet, very strong woman. So it was disturbing. It was disturbing.
To say the least, it was disturbing. What they did to his family is despicable. And it's like Eric Greitens, the guy who, the former governor of Missouri, who wants to be the senator, who released that ad we talked about yesterday, talking about hunting rhinos. They will go after you just because you disagree with them. We're allowed to have political discourse, disagree politically. That's normal in a democracy. They consider you their enemy. And by they, I'm talking about Republicans, run-of-the-mill, everyday Republicans. Now, if there's one bit of encouragement, it could be what happened on Fox today. No, I didn't watch it. I saw a clip. Jonathan Turley was there and somebody from the National Review. And I want to play you just a minute or two of what they had to say about today's hearings.
Some of this was extraordinarily compelling. You know, as we watch the protest outside of the homes of justices, it is important to remember that this has come from both the left and the right, where people forget there's human beings in these houses. And I thought the most compelling testimony was when the speaker was talking about what it was like to be in that house with these people outside. That was really authentic, and it was really compelling. And I think people need to really wonder about what they're doing when they treat these figures like they're not human beings.
Andy, question to you.
This is the,
it seems as though, you know, the
National Review guy coming up
is to gather this evidence and perhaps present it to the Department of Justice to see if there is a crime here that President Trump committed. And in his opening statement, Representative Adam Schiff named a crime. He said what the president did was conspiracy to defraud the United States. Is that the crime they're looking to charge him with?
No, I don't think so. I think the most plausible crime is obstruction of Congress. They're relying very heavily on the opinion of a federal district judge in California, David Carter, who is a Clinton appointee.
So you can hear this guy's a right winger, but listen to his switch here.
There's a lot of bombastic rhetoric in that opinion. It's not surprising to me that they're relying on it. What I would just say is that if you had a different perspective being presented here, I don't think that would be very helpful to President Trump per se, because the evidence pretty clearly shows his unfitness. It even suggests that he may be guilty of a crime, maybe not. There's arguments on both sides. But what I would highlight here is the plausibility gap. There's a big difference between saying that Trump had a scheme that attacked every tier of government versus how likely this was to succeed. I think what the committee's showing here is that our presidential elections are so diffuse, the authority is so extensively spread out between the federal and state governments, that there was no way that he could have pulled this off ever.
Well, but he tried. And, you know, so there's the guy kind of making excuses, but did say Trump looks to be guilty of a crime here. That's on Fox. And that's somebody from the National Review. So maybe we're starting to make some inroads into the intractable. But then I look at the chat room and Terry has her husband. I just glanced over and she said, I put my husband in the pride zone. He just can't admit how duped he was. He refuses to. It drives me nuts. He won't even watch the hearings. I'm so angry. I don't. One day we're going to have to do a show on how anybody who's one of us, like a progressive, could ever date or marry a Republican. Well, topic for another day. I hope that gives you a lot of food for thought. What's going on in this country is so, so very wrong. The lying has got to stop. All of it has got to stop, and I don't know that we can pull out of it. By the way, one last bit of business. I, this morning, tweeted out, it's been over a week now, what's the deal with Bill Stepien? His wife, if she's still in labor, this is really dangerous. Well, it turns out that she did have the baby on the 14th. So I think he missed the testimony on the 13th. Right? That was the day he said his wife went into labor. And he did. It was a no-show for testifying. You would have thought that this would have been news, right? Somebody on Twitter pointed out to me, there was a tiny mention on the, I guess on the morning of the 15th, in the Politico playbook. At the very end, they do like at birthdays and births and marriages and job changes and stuff. And I usually read the playbook every day, although I'm not a fan of Politico. I still read it as part of my morning prep work, but I skip over that stuff at the end. Nowhere else. If you Google Bill Stepien baby, nothing. Nobody reported it anywhere except a tiny little mention at the bottom of the Politico playbook the day after June 14th. Just weird. It's just weird. That's all. All right. Tomorrow, as I said, Lisa Graves will be here pretty much for the whole hour. We're going to talk about the hearings. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court. Again, Lisa has amazing legal bona fides. So we can ask her all kinds of legal questions. So that's tomorrow. Thank you for being here today. I'll leave you with the news, and we will reconvene tomorrow. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Breaking news overnight. The Washington Post reporting that Ginni Thomas, the wife of a sitting Supreme...
Whoa. That's a really old. Wow. That's like last week's What's News. Hold on. Let me bring up today's because that's the wrong one.
Ah, hold on. I got to get you the unedited one. Because, so bear with me. It's coming. Because, you know, I do a six-minute one for Progressive Voices, but sometimes there's more than 6 minutes worth of news. Like this one goes 7.5. Okay. Now, take two. Here we go.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to summer. Today is the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, and forecasts call for maximum sunshine and intense heat across much of the drought-stricken country for the foreseeable future. Meteorologists also say that power grid failures could impact vast portions of the country this season. Today is also the day that children 5 and under can get vaccinated against COVID-19. Well, unless you're in Florida, but that's another story. What are you waiting for? The House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol holds its fourth public hearing today. This one focuses on how the former guy and his allies pressured state-level officials to overturn the 2020 election results. The hearing will hone in on Trump's efforts to overturn the results in Arizona and in Georgia. Now, you remember Georgia. That's where Trump infamously asked the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, to help him cheat.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
By the way, Brad Raffensperger will testify today. Today's hearing will also show how Trump and his allies concocted a scheme to submit fake slates of electors. They'll show video testimony of depositions from officials in other states where Trump and his allies also pressured state-level officials to try to block Biden's win. Also expected today, direct allegations that the former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, quote, had an intimate role in an effort to pressure Georgia officials to overturn Biden's victory in the state. Adam Schiff, who takes the lead in today's presentation, said that they'll release texts that Meadows sent indicating that he wanted to send autographed MAGA hats to officials auditing the election results. After today, the fifth hearing will be held on Thursday. With gas prices still soaring, President Biden is reportedly considering a plan to send Americans gas rebate cards. Biden told reporters on Monday that the plan has not been ruled out. Okay. He's also considering a temporary suspension of the 18.3 cent per gallon federal gasoline tax. But that would require Congress to act, and there's been little traction among lawmakers on that idea so far. Noting the obscene profits the gas companies are pulling in right now, we have to wonder why the administration hasn't called for a windfall profits tax to stop the price gouging. Just a suggestion. Meanwhile, despite high gas prices and the prospect of a looming recession, Americans are on track to set a road trip record for the July 4th holiday. AAA predicting approximately 42 million Americans more than ever will take a road trip of 50 miles or more during that holiday weekend. Things are still bad in Ukraine, where Ukrainian troops are pushing back against a heavy Russian offensive in and around the city of Severodonetsk in the Luhansk region. Officials say Russian forces are making slight gains. Separately, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said on Monday that Ukraine is moving along the path to becoming part of the European Union. The EU will decide this week whether the country should be formally considered for candidate status. And this bit of disturbing news, the Kremlin's chief spokesman told NBC News on Monday that two American veterans reportedly captured by Russian forces in Ukraine will be considered soldiers of fortune and not prisoners of war. therefore not protected as such under the Geneva Conventions. And he said he couldn't guarantee that the two men wouldn't get the death penalty, arguing that they participated in shelling and firing at Russian forces and should be, quote, held responsible for the crimes they have committed. The State Department called on Moscow and its proxies to live up to their international obligations. Under the Geneva Conventions, soldiers captured in wars must be treated humanely and cannot be prosecuted for fighting, with an exception made for war crimes. Isn't all war a crime? Anyway, from the "and I thought our government was a mess" file, Israel is gearing up for another general election. It would be the fifth in just 4 years. This coming after Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and his key coalition ally, Foreign Minister Yair Lapid, agreed to submit a bill to dissolve parliament. If passed, it would trigger the election later this year. A short statement from the Prime Minister's office said the move came, quote, after attempts to stabilize the coalition had been exhausted. The Bennett-Lapid government was sworn into office just in June of last year. That ended the premiership of Benjamin Netanyahu, which had lasted more than 12 years. If there's another election, it could mean putting Netanyahu back in power. Oh, please, no. Airlines canceled more than 5,000 flights over the Juneteenth and Father's Day weekend, disrupting travel for at least tens of thousands of passengers. Nearly 30,000 other flights had been delayed since Thursday. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was among the passengers affected. His flight from Washington to New York was canceled on Friday, and he wound up driving instead. The TSA said more than 2.4 million people were screened at U.S. airports on Friday, making it the busiest travel day since last Thanksgiving weekend. High demand, bad weather, and unexpected absences, they say, all contributed to the mess. But we hear there's a severe pilot shortage, so expect these delays to continue throughout the summer. And finally, the Supreme Court this morning handed down 5 more opinions, now leaving 13 more to be decided to finish off this term. In today's batch, there was one biggie. The court voted 6-3 along ideological lines, striking down a main education policy that made K-12 schools with religious instruction ineligible for taxpayer-backed tuition aid. The court's 6 conservatives ruled that the state's so-called sectarian exclusion for now violated constitutional Sandler. Religious protections.
If you appreciate these reports
and the Nicole Sandler dissent, show, I hope you'll Justice consider Sotomayor making a contribution.
Quote, what a
My
difference
is
5 years made.
On there, but you heard it. I something's happening. Sorry, too much audio. All right, I'm just going to end it there. That's what I get for not paying attention. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Bye.